do, because I want people to be open to come to you. Right? I might have this link, this information in the bottom of this podcast, but I want them to get to know you.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So that way they can, you know, they might want to contact you because you seem like, because the thing about it is that when you see that big name like financial advisor, it's like, oh, he ain't real. He don't even know what the struggle is. You know what I'm saying?
It do happen.
He a hustler. He's just trying to hustle me out. Yeah. My money. Let's get back to the parts earlier. You said, talking about you being, before being a financial advisor, you were in the restaurant business. We had club promotion. Tell me, I want to go a little bit deeper into the track of that got you here.
In regards to when I was in the club or just...
Yeah, I'm really interested about this club promotion.
Subscribe for the very latest.
Bye, Daddy.
Club promotion.
Yeah.
So it, you know, I grew up in, I was in Conyers, Georgia.
Mm. So, oh, okay.
But yeah, that's where I kind of know about your way. Conyers, Georgia, it was at one point one of the fastest growing cities, and it was a lot of black people moving out that way. Yeah. So there's a lot of people, all kinds of walks of life, people from Katrina, everybody that came from Katrina, all over New Yorkers came down.
Facts.
Houses was cheap. Everybody was out there like just buying them up like it was a kid at a candy store with a bunch of money. So,
facts.
You know, Conyers exploded, but there was really nothing for us to do. And so by default, we ended up just saying, hey, let's throw a party. It would turn into a party, and then before you know it, it would be over, you know, 200-300 people, and like, where all these people come from? They're like, they ain't got nothing else to do, they show up. So we took that energy and took that momentum and was like, we can do this, because everybody already knows who we are as a product when we decided to start a club promotion team. And we was like, we just take that momentum and just take it and say, we got a clientele to clubs. So what we started doing is campaigning at different clubs, and we were opening it up. Like, oh, clubs are trying to, let's say a new club owner come in town and he want to get started. They'll come to us. We'll say, we got this many contacts. We got this many emails. We could bring this much crowd influx in. And we guys, you pay us a flat rate, or you give us, you know, however we negotiate. It would look like sometimes we'll get like 10% of the bar, or we'll get like 100% at the door, what they charge at the door. And VIPs and booths, we get that, and they get the bar. It'll be like it'll be trade offs on that. I was the one who was always negotiating those type of deals. Mm. And so, yeah, we went on our promotion. We was one of those kids that was hanging out the flyers. We would always be paying for flyers, and the kids hanging out the flyers out there by the mall and stuff. That was us. It was fun. Like, at the same time, we was having fun doing the whole thing. And we realized that, you know, we can really make something out of it. So we started working in that. And then we started getting bigger. And I didn't realize how big we had got, because people would start recognizing us in different places. And I was like, oh, okay, so we can really make something out of it. And our connection started getting more intricate. So during that time, I think, I want to make sure my timeline is right. So when we first got the big exposure, Travis Porter.
All the way turned up, right?
Yeah, all the way turned. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Travis Porter, we were their promotional team.
Wow.
That's when dope. They first got started. When they first, like, Make It Rain, like, we was there in the studio. Like, when they was drunk and they didn't drop, we driving. Make it. Yes.
I'm sorry. So, like, reminiscing now.
So we was their promotion team. We was Travis Porter's promotion team. And then that led us to getting on Jeezy, Young Jeezy. When Jeezy was getting big, we got put on. Wow.
That's dope.
You was them. Hey, so Jeezy then, team was crazy.
Mama's Prime Time with Yo Gotti and all that and stuff like that. That was, we was in the mix. That's hard. That.
Nice.
Whoa. So you were part of the Can't Ban the Snowman campaign?
Yeah, I was part of that. Yeah.
That is hard. That's dope.
Hey, I'm gonna
tell you, man. International Man of Mystery, dude.
Antoine, let me tell you. I tell people all the time. I tell people all the time. When Jeezy was hit, when he was in the beginning, there was nothing like it.
It was epic.
The from the promotion to the whole entire movement is nothing I've ever seen.
That's all you saw, the snowman. It's all you saw,
man.
It was crazy, yep. man. Dope. The people love, and they still love Jeezy. I still love Jeezy.
Yeah,
but
they had to ban the shirts from the schools.
Hold on. Let me, because my mind is clicking a little bit now. Right. All right. So let's. I want to talk about this Jeezy because Jeezy has ties in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
right? So you was doing this in the time with BMF with popping
mm-hmm.
in Atlanta, right?
So that happened. That pushed us out. Actually, when BMF really got involved, that pushed us out. Like we got out fast. Like we didn't even exist anymore after that.
You know why? Because that money.
Oh, for sure. Like we didn't have just had services and a little bit of wasn't nobody. So. So that made sense. Like when that all happened, we was not around for all of that. We started getting we got a contract with V103.
Okay.
We knew a couple of my friends. They grew up with like OJ the Juice Man. East Atlanta. Like when Waka was there before Waka got big. When we talk about like, who is it? OJ the Juice Man. Who was else over there that was big? Charlie Boy Gang, like all that, like them in that area. We got close with them, so we would just bring them in. We just let them in free, and we would build all your local, rappers. Then we let them come in, but they were still big. It was still a big deal. Don't get me wrong. Like these are still big artists, but just because it's Atlanta, it's local. So we'll do that, and then. I think our biggest event that we pulled off was when Tiger was really like a big deal. When he like first signed the Young Money and
Rack City.
So Tiger had came for us. We had Waka Flocka, but this was when Waka Flocka was just putting out hard in the paint. Like he just showed up on the map. So he wasn't really like during that time frame, he wasn't huge. As big as he was, if you was in Atlanta, you knew who he was. That was it. Mm-hmm. And then me and my homeboy, the ones who started the promotion team, our biggest thing, what we always wanted to do, because we West Coast, I love West Coast music. I love all your Dom Kennedys. Larry June, Tupac, Too Short, Warren G, like all your West Coast. I'm a big West Coast head. At the time, to me, Nipsey Hussle was my favorite rapper all time for me. And so I wanted to get Nipsey. And this is when he came out with the Marathon. He had just came out with the Marathon. And I wanted to push that the most. That's what I wanted to do. So we was always trying to reach out to Nipsey. And then he actually responded to us and got us going. Now that was my best favorite conversation right there, because then he showed us some stuff that I ain't never knew about. I ain't know about no writer. I didn't know about how to get into extra like rooms and stuff like that. He put me on to a lot of it. And we was trying to build up a rapport to where he can build his Atlanta base. We wanted to build an Atlanta fan base out here. And we was trying to build the promotion out here. And then ironically, simultaneously, they had another division working on a lot of the Caribbean clubs. So we started really pumping a lot of Caribbean stuff. We started pumping a lot of like reggae. Afro Beats was just coming on the scene, like real early. So we was heavy with that, but they started offering us, we wanted to start promoting overseas in Africa. And so that was the biggest opportunity when it came to Nipsey. I was like, Nip, we got an opportunity for you out in Egypt. What do you think about going international?
Ooh.
And so we was really pushing it. Ironically, this led Case to him going to Ethiopia. This led Case to him going to I don't have those screenshots, but the rest basically he was like, I'm going to Ethiopia, so I want to get back with my people. But he's like, international as far as going through Africa, we down, we doing that. And he just gave props. He didn't give it because we didn't book it.
Man. Yeah. Nip, man. Oh man.
That's dope.
I love that guy, man.
Classic, man.
I love Nip. I'm a fan. I used to watch all Nip's videos.
Yep.
This is way before he became really big. I just like to hear him talk. I said, literally, the first time I clicked on YouTube, I'm searching all Nipsey interviews. The Nipsey interview with somebody, I want to listen to that because I knew I was going to get something out of it. I always knew I was going to get something out of it.
Always influential, man. Always influential.
Oof, man, I never had it's since Jay-Z. I don't think I've ever had a rapper that influential to me, you know, that spoke to me like that. And I enjoyed his journey as a rapper.
Yep,
his flow, the way he started. I remember listening to like the Marathon mixtapes and the the Slauson Boy and all of that, and I started realizing. He knew that when he really started wanting to talk about something important like financial things, and he started slowing his flow down. Mm-hmm. That's why you caught that part where he says, "I got $1 million on my flesh." Is this when he raps? There's like at least a 3-second space right there. Yep. He wants you to catch everything he's saying. That's how important. Yep. It was for him to get his point across. He would leave spaces in between so you can catch it. Nobody's really even getting that.
Quick question. Was Nip ahead of his time or was he right on time?
I believe, well, Antoine, I'm with you on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with both. He's ahead of his time because he's always a forward thinker about building a brand. He building his brand. He had that, and he had a system. He had something that was going to be have a lot of longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Up to his code on how he was going to navigate with that. So he built that. Mm-hmm. That was where I say that's where he was right in his time. He knew that he was going to be where he was going to be. What put him ahead of his time is his influence with where he wanted his people to go. He wanted his community to grow. He wanted his inner circle to grow, to become millionaires, to become billionaires. He was building up other communities, and he was building up other people. Like, he's put a lot of life into a lot of people. There's a lot of rappers to this day. There's a reason why Nip is so relevant outside of just, you know, throughout the community. He's relevant through the rappers too, because he would pump a lot of life into them too. And he was showing about moving their money, understanding their own music distribution as well too. Like, he learned that from Jay-Z, like understanding his music distribution, how to be an indie artist and how to navigate with that. Like, those type of things was ahead of his time, because the only other person who really came out, or there's probably like two people, I say to me personally, who's indie, who really like is at the top of their list and really breaking standards, it was Chance the Rapper. Was like one of the biggest indie artists, independent, like I fund everything, who really broke records, who was really like doing that. But Nip was the first, for me, Nip was the first doing that.
Me as well, because he remember that the Proud to Pay campaign was crazy,
man. $100, then $1,000 joint,
right? And he was doing that. What is this? That was like 2000 and
that was 9 or 10.
Nine, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, people don't understand. Nip goes back as far as way up. The first time I ever heard Nip was on Pac's, one of Pac's albums that was after he passed away. I want to say the name of the album was called Pac's Life.
It was Pac's Life when it came out. It was 2004 or 2005 when it came out, and they had just built a memorial out here. That's when the album came out. It was 2004, 2005, and Nip was on there, and then he was putting out Bullets Ain't Got No Names, the volume 1, 2, 3.
That was some of the best Nip project. That's when you really see that growth happening. Chuck, what you think about that question? Now, what you think was he ahead of time, right on time? What you think?
I would say he's probably ahead of the curve. I think, far as, you know, you could tell that Nipsey was a very studious person, and it came out in his music. Because he was basically, I know it was like an interview I'm trying to remember vaguely of Lauren London, where he would just be sitting there for hours listening to books, just going from one book after another.
He's and a fall asleep with it.
Yeah, fall asleep with it. So you can tell like that through osmosis, all those ideas and concepts and theories, etc., start showing up in his music, and he was trying to basically, as they say, build a block. And I think, you said this, I may have heard it somewhere else, but he was literally like a motivational speaker that happened to be rapping. You know what I'm saying? He was just like, I'm just using rapping as a tool to get these ideas. You know what I'm saying? And I think, especially, most of the music we encounter is, kind of the same subject matters, females, gun culture, et cetera. But he was really trying to elevate and create a higher level of consciousness, but still be relatable in that. So I think that was where, he was very forward with that compared to, to everybody else, for the most part. So I think he was, ahead of his time in that.
I find it funny, man, because it's like, right when unfortunately, his untimely death, right when that happened, that was, I think, around the time, the cusp where you started hearing a lot more about, financial, literacy, and people becoming more
of course,
aware and tuning into their own finances. And he was like a big, component for that. So, yeah. Part of me feels like it was like right on time where, it was a changing of the guard for a lot of people where they started becoming aware, wanted to be financially sound.
Man, let me tell you. When Nip died, that was a rock. First of all, you got to remember, that's when they really start turning up that notch on this, the real ratchetness or the, you know what I'm saying? They really started turning the notch up on some of these rappers who really, ain't trying to see y'all get rich. That's how they, them type of rappers who don't care about you. The people they actually put into the industry to destroy. You know what I'm saying? They turned that notch up because, first of all, Nip is someone who Pac prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Pac said, I ain't gonna change the world, but I'm gonna spark the brain of the one that's going to do it. It's Nip. Nip came out of nowhere. And he was educated. He was a Crip. A gang banger who moved like he was a CEO corporate for real. They didn't like that. You can't put that together. Because that's the Black Messiah right there.
Yep. Mm.
He didn't have Jesus Christ on his... He had Malcolm X hanging from his neck. That's a problem.
That's true.
That's a problem. He's a problem. When he negotiated that Atlantic deal, he had so much leverage, it was ridiculous. He was putting out albums calling them mixtapes. He did that on purpose. Why? Because you ain't got no sound scan on that.
Mm-hmm.
Which means you can't prove what I sold. I tell you what I sold. Oh, yeah, nah, we sold 500,000 at the trunk of my car. You don't know that. That's why he called them mixtapes. He never called them albums. These were albums he put out. All of them had original beats. Original lyrics.
That thing was brilliant.
Smart. He had the first smart store. He had the first, the Marathon store was a smart store. Either he had it or he was planning on building it. His team's already invested in them. So they want Nip to win. Those guys still have brands of their own. within all in ups. Was it
all money in
within there? There's other brands within Marathon. There are other brands of clothing. Y'all don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
There's other brands within that. They all, I forget. I want to say, is it Pac-Man? I forget. One of them have their own. First of all, they all have. They've all started things where they educate children. They give back to the community still, even in the absence of Nipsey.
That's dope.
And when Fats died, they get pieces of all money in. Like they still have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Nip had insurance for them.
Yep.
He knew what
that's
he
how
was
supposed to run it.
Listen to what I'm saying. Nipsey had insurance for his friends' kids. For his friends. So when his friends' kids, when they don't have to worry, if they die, the kids don't have to worry, man. This is what he was teaching, and it was going to spread. He is the hip hop financial advisor.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
That's why I'm so glad that you brought up Nipsey, and I'm so glad that you know you attached yourself to Nipsey, and Nipsey did something for you, because we need Nipsey back, man. It's sad that he's gone. Listen, Pac told me he was going to die. Over and over and over again. Till I believed it. And I was anticipating that. Because he was on that road to do that. Unfortunately. If he would have lived, I would have been very happy. But he lived a life he lived like a rock star, like a Black Panther rock star. You see what I'm saying? Like he was just a wild guy. But Nipsey spoke life. There's only one time, and I'm gonna tell y'all something great. I cannot find the song to this day, but I heard it when I was in the shower one day. It was one song he mentioned that he probably would die from one of the hands of a Crip member.
Mm-hmm.
He said it.
That's in, I don't know if it's in Mailbox Money.
One of them, right. Like Mailbox or like
Crenshaw.
Slauson Boy, Crenshaw, right.
It's a Crenshaw album.
He said that he was going to die from one of a Crip member. He said that. That's the only time I ever heard him say that he was going to die. And he died from the hands of a Crip member. You know what I'm saying? So, but Nip was our, like those words, I think that's why he wanted to do interviews so much, because he knew his words would be here. He knew, I think I'm going to tell you one, and I'm going to end this because I get passionate about Nip. I get passionate about hip hop, period. But one thing about Nip, he understood is that he understood what path he was on. And he understood that there was a dangerous path, and he understood that he may not see the whole path go through. That's why he prepared himself, and he prepared his family for when he's gone, because Marathon Clothing is theirs.
Yep.
You know, Sam just runs it.
That Puma deal is still paying him out right now.
Still paying him out, Jay Stone, his boy Jay Stone, and all of them still model for Puma.
Yep.
They model for Puma.
They still their contract is locked in. I don't know how long it's locked in, but I know it's still locked in.
It's not going anywhere, because Jay-Z is the creative director of Puma. I don't think it's gonna go anywhere.
Oh yeah, I can see that stand.
Yeah, I don't think it's going anywhere. Jay-Z's over. He's the creative director from what I'm saying over Puma in Puma. So Roc Nation basically is running Puma. So I don't think it's going anywhere. But that was a dope conversation, because you know, it just came to me, like Nipsey was what you are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's pretty dope.